Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
With increasing frequency, photographers and video journalists who are reporting events where public order is at stake are subsequently being threatened with production orders. The police are demanding they hand over their photographs and video, whether or not their material was ever published or broadcast. The National Union of Journalists is at the forefront of a campaign to persuade the government to drop proposals for changing the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, which would give the police even greater powers to seize material from the news media. No longer would the police have to prove they tried themselves to obtain the necessary images or evidence. Here to discuss the mounting threat to the freedom of the media are the video journalist Jason Parkinson, who himself has been subjected to police production orders, and Roy Minkoff, legal officer for the National Union of Journalists. Jason Parkinson, could you start by explaining the kind of thing that's happened to you after you've been out filming public order events?
Well, sometimes it can happen very quickly after an event that you're approached, or it's, you know, as with the Bolton case, it was several years afterwards. But for instance, with Dale Farm, I think it was within a matter of about a month that I was approached, basically initially by email in an informal way to say, can we have a look at your material? And obviously you say no, immediately inform the NUJ that is happening. And then generally after that, that's where they go, okay, if you're not going to let us have it voluntarily, we will take it, take the legal route and take it by force using a production order.
So just to explain it then, you've been out, you've been recording an event, you mentioned Bolton, that was I think a demonstration where the English Defence League were causing trouble, Dale Farm was the eviction of travellers, you're recording those events, you're filming those events for the media, and yet the police subsequently come along and demand your material. Is that what's been happening?
Yes, I mean, what's happened specifically with me is some of my material has come out on the news, other stuff is then published online as well, and the police have tracked down to see where that footage has come from, and then they want to see what you haven't published, because their argument is there's probably something in there that is going to be of interest to them. Or there's something, you know, certainly some of the accusations that were around the Dale Farm traveller eviction was there's stuff in there that is going to be of interest to us because you've deliberately not published it. Whereas any journalist's argument was if there was anything of interest in there, it would have been published anyway because it's part of the news story. Mm. So that's the sort of stuff they're looking for. And with Dale Farm, you know, they came after every single broadcaster. And they wanted everything from 2 days without actually disclosing what it was they were looking for, which is just, I think it was one of the widest, other than the London riots, was one of the widest production orders I think anybody had ever heard of.
Mm. Well, it sounds a pretty frightening fishing trip on the part of the police. I know as a journalist, lifetime journalist myself, how much I value the integrity of my own notebooks. Roy Minkoff, as the legal officer for the National Union of Journalists, is what the police are doing, is it legal? Are they permitted to be able to go on these sorts of fishing expeditions and demand all of the material that Jason has shot at Dale Farm or Bolton or wherever?
The position is that protection of sources is a vital tenet of our democracy, and it's recognised by the UK courts and in Europe. The difficulty is that the right to protection is not an absolute right, and there are conditions that can be attached to that which restrict the protections that we have. What's worrying at the moment is that the government appears to be intending to further restrict the protections that journalists have by, as you said in your opening, getting rid of the requirement for the police to either see what material they have of their own, or indeed what other published material there is, before going to journalists to obtain, seek to obtain their material.
So what has the union been doing? I mean, Jason has been describing how these production orders were served against him after the Dale Farm Traveller eviction, after this demonstration up in Bolton. What has the National Union of Journalists been doing then to try to defend the position and the integrity of the material of people like Jason?
Over a period of time, the union has made representations to Parliament, to various select committees, continues to do that, and lobbying as well, of course, and as part of a campaign generally over a period of time to take that issue forward. As well as that, the union has been taking cases where journalists of members have come to us and oppose, quite understandably, the demands of the police to have their materials or sources. The union has also combined with other media organisations, national broadcasters, for example, as in the Dale Farm case, to oppose the police demands, and was successful in the Dale Farm case.
Let's, before we go on to look, Mr. Minkoff, at the wider campaign that the union is fighting and how, you know, you're campaigning against possible further changes in the law. Jason, could we look at these cases that you were involved in then? Let's deal, first of all, say, with Dale Farm. Now, that's a case, I think, where actually the argument that was put forward by the journalists and the video journalists eventually won the day, didn't it?
In the end it did, when we went to judicial review in Crown Court. Basically, as anyone said, you just go through that as a process, and nearly all the time you're going to lose, because that's what happens at Crown Court. But when we went to the Royal Courts of Justice, literally within one day and one hearing, I think it was Moses, wasn't it? The judge basically went through and absolutely tore their argument apart.
That was the police argument?
Yeah, because they had not fulfilled their criteria in any way, shape or form, and they were clearly just going after everything, some 100 hours worth of footage, which was even questioned, how do they even have the resources to actually go through this and look at this material? They simply don't. It was an absolutely ludicrous court order that they'd put in. And they just had not fulfilled the criteria in any way, shape or form. They had not disclosed anything of what they were looking for. And this was very clearly, this was not about trying to find evidence of criminality or the fact that they'd even looked elsewhere. They didn't even know what material they had on their own surveillance from five different cameras and a helicopter. They had not even checked their own material before coming after the journalist material. And the only thing that they were looking for was to actually identify these people who had joined the campaign. And they wanted as much evidence as possible on those people. And this was not about trying to find acts of criminality. This was about material they were going to keep, and it was going to go on databases, and it was going to be used as intelligence in the future on these people.
Do you feel, Jason, I mean, we know that there's CCTV everywhere around us, and the first thing we know is that when there has been a crime or a public order event, that the police try to sweep up all of the CCTV that they can find. Do you feel then that journalists are now being included in that widespread sweep, and that really, I think if you look at the Bolton case, there was a demonstration, wasn't there, between, it was a march by the English Defence League, there was a campaign or a march, a protest against by Unite Against Fascism, and there again your material was demanded by the police.
Yes, I mean, it was the request for what they wanted from that was certainly a lot less than Dale Farm, but it's very true, and we had a very worrying trend in the 18 months leading up to the Dale Farm case, where there was this massive increase, basically when the new government came in. All of a sudden we started to see more and more of these requests coming through, and it was just being passed all the time, and they were getting it. So that was one of the main reasons I think we stood with the broadcasters to say enough is enough. We've got to make a stand here, because if we don't, our ability to report on these things in the future is going to stop, and then we've got a very worrying problem in this country if we cannot be out there reporting on what's going on. But with Bolton, they came after 2 hours worth of footage. Again, they kind of followed the same route. They would not disclose anything to us. They wouldn't even tell us what the investigation was that they were requesting the material for. But as soon as we went into court and their barrister took one look at the Dale Farm High Court ruling, they called for immediate adjournment and said, oh, we better disclose, which is really annoying for us because it wasted a lot of our time and money. And then having to go into the court only for it to be adjourned, for them to actually then disclose what we'd been asking for 4 months. Mm-hmm. But then what they did with that was, they disclosed what they were looking for, a specific incident, what they were looking for, and that's what they have to do by law. But that also makes it a lot harder for us to fight, because they have then adhered to the law. But for the first 4 months, they weren't. But what we did do was force them to do that, which is, that in itself is a success.
Roy Minkoff, if I can turn to you now again, as the NUJ's legal officer, what we're hearing from Jason is that, of course, when an argument is put forward to the courts and gets to the higher judicial authorities, they often side with the news media. Are you encouraged by that?
They sometimes do. I wouldn't necessarily say often, and I think it depends on the circumstances. I think the Dale Farm case indicates that where the police do a particularly poor job of preparing their case and showing why they need the evidence, need the order, then that eases the role that we have in defeating that. If they get their act together, it's much more difficult. But they still have to show that any interference with freedom of expression is justified as necessary in a democratic society. And there are stages that they have to go through. That they have to show pressing social need for the interference. They have to show there's relevant and sufficient reasons. And there has to be a close and penetrating examination of the factual justification. And in many instances, that hasn't been done by the police. That doesn't mean that our members can rest easy. On the contrary, if the police do get their act together, and there's a variety of ways in which they have to do that to satisfy a court, if they do get their act together, then I think what would happen is that journalists, photographers, videographers, investigative journalists would effectively be evidence gatherers for the police. And that's something that's totally unacceptable.
Mr. Minkoff, though, we heard, didn't we, in the Leveson inquiry, how the Metropolitan Police are quite keen, actually, to strengthen the law, to make it easier for the police to get information. Now, where are we on the legal position? We know that there's the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, which we think the government are trying to change. What is the sort of bigger legal battle that the NUJ is trying to fight?
The legal battle at the moment, in a sense, the position isn't entirely clear, because the government hasn't come up with the full details of what it intends to do at the moment. And of course, they haven't acted yet on Leveson's recommendations at all, so it remains to be seen. But I think that what we can anticipate is what they've been saying, is that they want to, without disclosing what they have themselves or what they've gained from other published material, they want to be able to come to a journalist and be able to get to an order from a court almost on the nod. And I think that would place the role that the journalists have as being a public watchdog, the role that the journalists have of obtaining information, pictures, photographs in the public interest, that would be diminished considerably. And remember, the public have a right to know. That's been determined by the courts. And for that to be taken away or diminished in any way, and we've seen what happened recently with investigations into what was happening to the Stephen Lawrence family. I mean, that's shocking. It's not altogether surprising, but it's shocking. And we can't have that.
It's really unacceptable.
When it comes to the future, I mean, there's that old trade union slogan, you know, united will never be defeated. Is the news media united on this? Is it standing up, for example, for the freelancer like Jason Parkinson, who goes out on the front line recording an event, who hasn't got the backing behind him of the BBC or one of the big news agencies? Is the media united in trying to thwart the police and the government?
The answer is sometimes. I think that we need to do more work on that to try to get a united front on a consistent basis. Sometimes production orders are acceded to by the media organisations. It's difficult for some of their employees, their in-house employees, journalists who have gained material to obtain that. Their employers will say, well, you may have obtained it from your source, but it's ours, the companies, and we choose to hand it over. And the journalists are not very happy about that on many occasions. We need to strengthen the resolve of all involved in the media to oppose these moves. If we want to have a free press, if we want to retain a democratic society, then it's vital that the role of the media in this is protected. And we have to step up the campaigns.
Finally, to you, Jason. There you are. You're often on your own. You're trying to report an event that is unfolding before you. It must be very alarming, mustn't it, to be thinking that when you get back to your office, when you've supplied the material to somebody, that the police could come after you. Are you encouraged by the fight that's being put up on behalf of journalists like yourself? Do you think you've got the rest of the media behind you?
I think we did it. We did a very good united job on the Dale Farm case. I think it's like any kind of campaign or any kind of fight to actually try and at least keep hold of the you know, the ability we have at the moment to oppose these things. But it's a constant. It is a constant fight. It's a constant vigilance. You just have to keep going. And you know, the moment you make one success like Dale Farm, lo and behold, in the middle of Leveson, the Met come saying, oh, well, all of that fight that they did, we need to get rid of that because that wasted a lot of our time and money. And, you know, we didn't get the material in the end. So, you know, you've just got to keep fighting and bashing your head against that brick wall all the time.
As a final postscript, of course, you often report events, public order events, disruptions abroad. Are other journalists around the world looking to British journalists to defend these vital freedoms? Because, of course, we know what can happen in other countries where material can be seized as well.
Certainly, from the journalist syndicate over in Egypt, they knew about the case and saw it when we won, and you know, got emails from people over there and from contacts and colleagues over in Cairo who were just saying amazing work. You know, we had emails and stuff from people from America who were watching the case as well. So yeah, people are watching and they're keeping an eye on.
Can I just very briefly add to that yes, we do support other journalists all over the world through the NUJ and also the National Federation of Journalists and the European Federation of Journalists, and that continues. And I think it's vital that it's not just a campaign and a battle that's fought in this country, but throughout the world.
So there we are. It sounds like a case of journalists united internationally. I'd like to thank Jason Parkinson, a video journalist, and especially Roy Minkoff of the National Union of Journalists, their legal officer, for taking part in this discussion. This podcast was recorded and produced by Claire Colley for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom.